My name is Andrew, member of Local 40K Fight Club, Adeptus Fanaticus.
I'm Ryan, and I feel very French right now.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And Bastion Studios is calling Ex Illis Wargaming 2.0. Is it indeed the future of tabletop wargaming, or just something we are going to forget about? Find out as we review the game on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 10 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And I'm finally excited to finally get this game in front of me because it took a heck of a long time to track down a copy. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get the game set up about their distribution process. But we're looking at Ex Illis by Bastion Studios. Oh boy, their fingers are all going to spill out, aren't they? Oh boy, this, okay. Well, we'll hold it like this, or I'll show an image overlay, because you really can't even see that very well from this angle anyway.
You can't really.
So, Ex Illis is by the company Bastion Studios. They are brand new, I believe they're based out of Quebec, Canada. At least that's where my package came from, so I'm making an assumption that's where they're from. This is, how'd you say, like a hybrid miniatures video game?
And yeah. That's Final Fantasy mixed with miniature figures,
yeah,
basically.
It's a cross between the two.
That's what they're going for. They have, obviously, their big selling point, what they want to be the big selling point, is a video game section side to it, where all the stuff is done with the computer, all your hits, all your magic attacks, all that stuff, all the probabilities in the background. You don't see any of the charts, no dice, no tables, nothing like that. That's their big selling point. That's why they call it Wargaming 2.0, because it's kind of supposed to be computers meet miniatures. So that's pretty much the whole we're going to focus on. Does that idea actually work? Is this game fun to play? All that kind of stuff. In terms of the universe, it's like what you call a historical fantasy game. It takes place like the 1300s, but there's also the fantasy creatures running around, because I'm going to assume they did not rip off Arcane Legions. It's probably a coincidence the two had the same backstory. But basically some mysterious magical mist covered all of Europe and started transforming people into these mythical creatures. So that's kind of like what happened. That's why I say if you played Arcane Legions, you know that's the same backstory behind Arcane Legions, is some mist covered all of this, in this case, is the Mediterranean area, and caused people to mutate and all sorts of crazy mythical creatures. We'll probably chalk it up, what up for coincidence. The games are probably, they're probably in development at the same time. So any other quick comments about the overview of the game? Is that a pretty good idea of, I guess, what the company wants you to view the game as?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So you want to just go ahead and open this thing up and see what's inside?
Yes.
All right, let's crack it open. Let's go ahead and take a look inside the box of Ex Illis. And what we've got here is, I guess, the basic or standard starter kit. If you go on their website, you'll see it's just called the starter kit. And it retails around $70. There's also what you call an integral starter set, which has everything here plus a gigantic plastic molded tiles for a map. And that's $170, but I was not going to pay for this game. So what you do get inside here, though, is you get 54 miniature figures. They range in size from tiny little devil creatures they call imps to these giant demon things, and there's a really cool angel guy standing over here, which is absolutely fantastic. You're also going to get in a map that folds up. It's a nice, very plastic, glossy map, decent artwork, and things like that. So they got a pretty nice, good-sized map. You've got two quick start books. One's French, one's English. And you've got an application DVD which contains the software you need to play. But that version that comes on the DVD is obviously older than what's out there right now. So you want to go ahead and just download off the website, because you can get the application from the website free. And it runs on Windows, OS X, and the iPhone/iPad. Why don't we go ahead and say what we like or what we don't like about component quality? Ryan, do you want to start first?
Sure. Yes, figures are very nice. I like them.
Anything else?
You said some assembly required.
Yeah, these figures do come unassembled. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the setup process, because I got a little video to show. But they're unassembled figures, very similar in terms of difficulty to Warhammer Fantasy or Warhammer 40K.
Yeah. Figure quality is very nice. The bases are even, so you know I'm not going to tip over anywhere.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Okay, well, I guess I'll jump in here.
Jump in.
All right.
That's all I can say, really. Yeah.
For me, figure quality is definitely awesome. I love some of the hero figures, especially Angel. He just looks freaking sweet.
Yeah.
He's got some really good detail on him. Most of the guys fit together pretty good. I also want to give him a bonus point here for how the figures were packed in the box. There's someone else who can't see it, but if you go back and watch my first look of Exilus on YouTube, you'll see the way the sprues come, they're grouped together and held together with rubber bands. So all the similar sprues are all held together with rubber bands. Yes, they're they're packaged nice, and it's actually not a lot of wasteful plastic baggie or anything like that. It's very efficient, very clean, very useful packing, and makes it easy for you. Did the guy's head fall off?
Headless Horseman.
Well, that guy had a head at one point.
Yeah. Had a head.
So that's pretty good. I think map is good. One thing about the map, I do like the map, and the fact that it does unfold evenly. I've had maps before, whiskets, that don't unfold. And you sit there, spend hours trying to cut them up, reduce them to funky. This thing unfolded really good, and it's really nice to use. I think that's a pretty good overview of me for the component quality.
For
me, I don't want to hate on, but I forgot what it was. Go ahead, talk for a while, Andrew.
For me, I like the models. The modeling for me is, to me, it seems pretty on par with Warhammer Fantasy 40K. And, you know, obviously the packaging for me is a bonus as well. I really liked that. So that's another one that I like. That's pretty much it for me. You know, the quality of the models, you know, the bases are even. Because I've had a lot of my Warhammer Fantasy models tip over. I've had to put things underneath them just to get them to stand up. So that's another thing that I really, really like about these.
I got one from Ryan, I bet he'll like. There's no dice for you to roll.
Yeah, but still.
There's still dice in the game? Okay. Try to get see if I can.
Yeah, but that is a fair point. There are no dice here.
He doesn't like dice, that's why. Do you want to give it a point or not for that? Am I stretching too much?
Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
We'll be nice.
Why not? Yeah, we'll have to be as nice as possible, I guess.
Sometimes, yes. This isn't grind, so. All right, you want to go ahead and talk about some of the setup process? And that's pretty much go over review of the components.
Yep.
I guess let's ask this question. For $70 in terms of the figures, do you think that's a good value? I certainly think it is. For $70.
Yeah, I mean, you have a lot of figures.
Just straight up figures, you're getting a lot.
Yeah,
$70
for the models, yes.
Even if you play some other game, but you like the models, $70 will get you a lot of figures.
Yeah.
Just one note on that. We'll get to talk a little more about this when we get the software, but because you have to register, create an account with their online system to play the game. You can't buy two starter kits and register them both to your own username. Mm-hmm. They won't let you do that. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk more about that when we get to the software and the online component. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about setup. I'll talk a little about figure assembly here in just a moment, and also some of the army building stuff. There we go. That's a quick video of me assembling some of the figures. So let me start there. I'm actually going to give them a kind of a negative hater rate for the assembly process. Now, as I mentioned, it's not any worse than Warhammer 40K or Warhammer Fantasy. The problem, though, is if someone has never assembled figures before, I'm not going to tell them, you know, go out and try these figures. They are, because, you know, even the Warhammer stuff is kind of advanced. I like what Games Workshop does with their starter sets, where the figures that come in the starter sets are simpler, easy-to-assemble versions of the real figures, where you basically glue a gun on or glue a sword on, and you can have your guys, you know, a figure done literally in, like, 10 seconds.
I think it's kind of almost a sad thing, too, because I think they designed this game for, like, expert gamers to, like, expert miniature gamers to get involved in this. But the problem is, they assemble this stuff, and then we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah. But there's 800-pound gorilla with this game sitting over there that we're going to get to and talk about later on our final review. Yes, they're the big 800-pound gorilla over there. How you doing? he's very angry, too, I think. Another thing I want to comment on is the software. Why is the software 1.23 gigabytes?
That's huge.
That's just way too much for...
So it took a long time to download it, especially, I mean, if you're still stuck on some crappy DSL like poor Brent over when we're playing up in Hispanicus games at, we sit there for 5 hours downloading the software. And another crappy thing is, my computer is a custom-built gaming machine, it's about 3 years old, but it runs a quad-core, it's the first quad-core commercially available. and it's still a darn awesome computer. It's still one of the top 8 processors available out there. But long story short is, when you double-click on the installation file to install the software, it took 10 minutes for the actual installer program to load up. I literally double-clicked on it. I thought that the thing wasn't working, so the first 4 times I did it, nothing happened. I just rebooted my computer. Okay, made my computer reboot. I did it again, and I finally just said, okay, screw this. I gotta go and get some dinner and come back in 10 minutes, and it loaded up. So it takes 10 minutes. This is not to install the program. This is for the installer to launch. Just to get the installer running. It's not installing the software. Goodness. That takes a lot longer.
Launch
takes 10 freaking minutes.
That's way too much.
That's like 2 more hand raises, I think, right
there. Yeah, I honestly don't know why it does that. I don't think it should be anything in my computer. Like I said, my computer's a beast. I added HD video on it in near real time and stuff. So yeah, I don't think it's...
That would discourage somebody.
Yeah.
A lot.
It may have to do with the fact that it's a 1.23 gigabyte file that Windows is trying to load all at one time, maybe.
It's like trying to get started.
Still don't make it that big.
Yeah. What about talk about Army construction? Because one of the interesting things about this, as I mentioned, you got to create an online account. I'm not going to rag an online account. They're kind of indifferent to that. I got more stuff to rag about that later anyway. What about the Army construction software they have on their website? It's kind of like, I think it's Ajax-based. I don't think it's a Flash application.
No.
That runs, and you basically build the Army on the website, so it does all the points calculations for you, things like that. What do you guys, do you like that idea?
I like how it calculates out the point values for you, including penalty values based on faction, based on the factions in the game. And because when you take things that you wouldn't normally for your faction, you get your penalty points. So I really like how it calculates all that and the statistic values of that, of each model. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a neat little graphic that shows you how powerful your army is in different areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Ryan?
Yeah, I saw a little bit. One thing that I'm upset about is, I mean, can you get like different, like units, like different armies just from the start, not just from the starter set? Or do you gotta work with what you have? Basically.
There's a few more figures available than what come in the starter set. And there's like, I think 3 more sets of figures that are, 2 or 3 sets of figures that are not figures that already come in the starter set. Yeah. So you can buy more of these figures. So as for different armies, there are different factions to the game. If you look in one of the first pages of the Quick Start Rulebook, or it's online also, they have a copy of this thing. Basically, England, France, Germany, everything's collapsed. So basically all the small kingdoms are now fighting amongst themselves. They're no longer unified countries. So there are different factions. As for who's for what faction, I honestly don't know.
And that's one of the things, Andrew, when you were setting up your army in there, and you showed me that, I saw like on the top of the screen, no faction. Okay, well, where do they belong to then? Because you're saying there are factions, but...
There are factions, but where is it?
Yeah, they don't mean anything, I guess, to the game.
So I want to give them a negative on the whole the penalty points thing. The idea is cool that, you know, you can't mix and match powerful units from other factions. But I have no idea what's going on. Why am I being penalized? You know, like, I don't get it. Obviously, I guess it might make sense that the demons can't be with the angel, but the angel looks really ticked off when it killed people like crazy, so I don't know, maybe is he a demon in disguise? I don't know. So it's like, there's a lot of things going on that just doesn't make any sense in the background. You guys, you know, haterade for that?
Of course, you know, a comment on that, you know, demon with the angel can play with the imps.
Yeah, who are also demons.
Who are also,
there's factions, but they don't make any sense to me anyway. Maybe there's something I'm just totally missing, but anyway. Well, any other comments about leading up to the battle itself? Or is it time to go ahead and let's do some battle reports?
Can I just mention the
instructions?
This is just, I mean...
So this is a French book and an English book.
The problem is, this is glossied over. This is really nice and perfect. The French one, it's like they cater more to the French, I think. But the English introduction is just paper.
It's just a matte paper.
Why not make them both glossy? Either that or just make them both paper.
I feel a little bit
insulted.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I knew it was one thing I wanted to say haterade about this game beforehand. The distribution process for this game was miserable when it first came out. I couldn't find this game in the United States.
Okay, that's probably why.
I was literally told.
So anybody who feels insulted by me saying my comment
are
going to be outside of this country, which is a good
thing. Because I was literally told by one of my local retailers, go to Canada, there's a store there that sells it for sale, here's the link. I'm like, oh, thanks. Now, fortunately, though, they have got this game up on their website, so you now can easily buy it. But at the same time, you're going through the company bypassing your local game store, I personally don't like that, but you know, that's more of my kind of political economic viewpoints. Yeah, so just go ahead and do some battle reports, I guess, right?
Let's do it.
All right.
Do you want to run down your army for us, what you're playing with?
All right. Basically, what I have in my army is a set of four French knights.
They're heavy cavalry.
Yeah, they're heavy cavalry with armor. Sweet. And I have two, what I believe they're called Sofferets. In the game, they're purple. So they're like our purple Barneys, our purple deformed Barneys. And
God help us all. That's right, it's a mortal enemies guy show, isn't it?
In here, I have two units behind fenced cover. I have my Arbalists, which are crossbowmen with shield walls to protect them, with their hero leader, which is this fairy kind of wizard. She's right here.
She's the fairy godmother.
the fairy godmother.
Somewhere near there, she is, right in the middle.
Yep, right there. And along in the same zone, we have our little peasants, our little peasant men with their pitchforks.
Hey, Ryan, let's run through your army.
Okay, we've got the horsemen right here.
So you've got light cavalry. So
yeah, they're all very light armored cavalry, which they'll probably
but be decimated. They get tired just as fast.
Yes, they do.
We'll talk about more about the fire.
You've got the archers here, and you got some cover for them. Then you have some of the spearmen with the wonderful archangel type of fellow there. Then you got the little imps right here.
So, okay, let's go ahead, start the battle, and start shooting each other up, and let's see what happens. So we've already got a first big melee going here. You can see we've got the demon guys, the light cavalry, and the peasants all mixed up here. As the
That's not the only thing that's going in there.
Nope.
The large cavalry, a flank attack.
You see we got a flank attack. That basically means he's coming in from the side of the battle, which, ironically, it's a flank because of the way his peasants charge in. But that's the way the Sofa figures it out. So let's... Oh, well, we'll explain that.
Ooh!
Oh! That's three solid hits and this big mess
and
of crap.
And a shield, so one blocked.
Let's see what happens.
Loading.
We're waiting.
Still waiting.
Loading. And waiting. Loading. And waiting some more.
Loading.
There we go.
Okay, Pat.
Oh, nothing.
Where are they?
They're all dead.
They're all dead.
Remove four of the Avalar. That happened last time.
Yes. So you saw what happened there is basically the knights charged in, killed all of his cavalry, and the computer told him to remove them, and Ryan, like a good servant of the robots, removed them.
Alright,
here we go. So now we're going to see one of the coolest attacks, probably the most powerful one in the game, which is the fairy lady. Has this, we call it a spam attack, but it's like some kind of razor wind leaf attack called Gust. Well, that's an exciting name for it. Every miniature takes damage, and fortunately, Ryan's imps are very low in health right now.
We'll see what happens to them.
Go ahead and
move your
something.
Your angel's.
You didn't move your angel up, Ryan.
Oh, I didn't, yeah. Sorry.
Alright, let's see what happens to the. Oh, right, I got charged bolts, and. You know what? I'm gonna bank on the Gust killing the imp, so I'm gonna bolt the other guy.
So let's hold on 1 second here. Let's see what's going on with the screen. This is pretty much what you're gonna get whenever you got any kind of action resolution, basically an attack resolution. Every icon on there represents pretty much a combat of some sort. In this case, see little crossbows flying around, because those are who's shooting. And also there's a little magic icon flying around down here as well. Pretty much there's two things you can do here. You either click on them one at a time to resolve them. So Angie, you want to go ahead and click on a few of them so you can see what you can do. And when you click on them, the icon will pretty much stay static. And if it goes to the right, it's something bad, like a miss. If it goes to the left, it's a good thing, like a hit there. Or if you go down here, you can see the little black check mark in the corner. If you click that, it'll automatically resolve them all at once. So it's kind of, there you go. And the reason it's lots of magic stuff over there, that's the razor wind attack that's going to kill the imps.
That always hits.
Because that always hits, because it's a piece of crap like that. Go ahead. And now we'll see what happens.
Let's wait and see what happens.
There's the arrows all firing, and someone get killed there?
Remove 10 miniatures from the imps.
We didn't even see the imps die, did we?
No, we didn't.
No, so but the imps died.
Yeah,
Andrew is getting ready to send his. Who's charging the knights?
Knights are charging
to support
into this
the knights who are the angel and his little buddies. He just scored 4 hits with the knights. All 4 of his knights hit. Now let's go ahead and see what happens.
Let's move them in.
So first we're going to move them in.
Loading, loading.
As their screen is still loading. Maybe that's why it loads. It wants you to wait to move the miniatures in until it does something.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, charge!
Ooh!
Yeah, that hurt.
And just like that, 4 of the spearmen of Ryan's army just fell down. And
alright, we're getting down here pretty much to the end. We've got Ryan with an angel and 1
flag.
Spearman.
Surrender.
Yeah, there's a surrender option. That's about all you can do at this point.
Okay, surrender. Do you want to continue? Yes.
And that's going to be a game for you guys. Here's our second battle report. I'm over here, Jason, taking on Ryan. I'm commanding the Fury Lady and her spammy army of death, and Ryan's playing the same guy as he played last time. Hopefully things go better for him. At least this
Maybe.
Time, the great random number generator that is his program built him up quite a defensive line with 2 forests and an obstacle right in here and gave me nothing. We'll see how that goes.
So, this is actual proof that not only do dice hate me, but the computer does as well.
So Ryan's got this massive shooters over here in the woods we mentioned before. He's trying to fire into this massive crap over here. He missed everything except for his own guy. Okay, at this point we're going to show you once again how powerful her magic spam attack is. So I'm going to fire once again on this giant group of people here. So she's going to go ahead and cast it right there.
Brown leafy green gas attack.
Yes.
And we'll do this for the effect of how many things that are could be hit. There we go.
Oh my
god. Oh my gosh.
Wow. 16 of these guys are dead. How many are left standing then?
Okay. You got okay.
All the imps die.
Yeah, all the imps are dead.
And 6 of the bowmen. So there's 1 bowman left.
There's 1 bowman left.
And he's retreating. He's fleeing.
Victory.
Oh my god.
Well, it could probably be the very last part of the game. Ryan tried to come up here and charge to fight my demons. My peasants did a flank attack, and every single one of them hit his guy.
Fight to the last man. We will die.
Brutal.
Now we're going to see what happens.
They're
forward,
running.
Forward.
Last man.
Oh, 1 goes down.
Oh,
2
no.
goes down.
Fling!
They're running.
And they're running. So is that, let's see if this is going to be it. Oh, the angel's running, isn't he?
Yeah the unit is tired, too.
I'll just run.
What just happened?
Is he off the board?
Yep. And that'll be the end of this battle. Good game, Ryan.
There you go. There are 2 of our battle reports from the numerous, I guess, battles we played out to review Exilus. We actually did quite a few of them this game. Just because it actually goes pretty fast, it's easy to get a bunch of them in. So for this one here, what we're going to do is go for about 25 minutes and talk about what was awesome about the game and what we didn't like about the game. And each thing gives it a score back here. You know, the So Sweet obviously is 1 point for good. Haterade is the 1 point for bad. And eventually after 25 minutes, we'll count them up, see how the game did, and give our final reviews and go from there. So you guys ready to start off?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Let's say, start off. That's what I think is a good thing. The flow of gameplay. And this is actually one of the good things about the game. It's fast to play a game, and things move along, you know, because of the fact there are no rules, no crazy stuff to deal with. Things move along. What do you guys say?
I'd say yes.
The speed is very, very consistent. It's nice and smooth.
Because you don't have to figure anything out.
Yeah, you don't have to roll
for you.
You don't have to roll any dice, you know, you don't have to measure any movement because it's based on the zones and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So my microphone's ahead. Cut this part out. Okay, there we go. I mean, the typical game lasts what? Maybe 30 minutes, I'd say?
Yeah, around that.
And this is like the intro game. Obviously, larger games would be longer and whatnot. But what you play with the starter set's around 30 to 45 minutes. So it's really quick compared to, say, Warhammer Fantasy, Warhammer 40K,
and
which is a plus for tournament players, I think.
And one might not know about the
flow of gameplay. The only problem with this, the reason why the gameplay flows so well is because of the computer that running thing.
Yes.
And that problem is you don't know how that's being
calculated because you don't see all the rolls that are being done because you don't see where all these numbers are being generated. So how much damage is being
done. Put your faith into a computer. So it's just a minor.
Hold that thought. We'll get to that one in a little bit, but definitely it's definitely a bad thing. Yeah. We're going to get to the whole software stuff in a little bit. Let's go on. How about movement tactics? The game is a fairly abstract movement. In a standard game, there's 20 board spaces, so your guys are in one of these 20 board spaces, and they can move pretty fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, cavalry can get across the board in two turns. What do you guys think about movement tactics? Ryan?
I think movement tactics is good.
You like it?
Yeah.
You like it, Mandra?
Yeah.
I can disagree with you guys. I personally didn't really like them that much, just because there isn't a lot to it for me. Because it's so abstract, so like large scale, you're pretty much either one of things going to happen. You're basically in one of these four positions. You're either out of range, in charge range, in shooting range, or you're in melee. What happens, you move your guys up, someone charges you. You move another guy up, someone charges you. There's not a whole lot of positioning. Position doesn't matter to me, at least, I think.
Well,
in the overall look.
Well, I think you won't make anything too extravagant, yeah. I mean, for that type of gameplay, especially if it's a turn-based style that they have. They make it simple because they don't want to make it too complicated.
Yeah, and I think they make it simple.
As far as tactics.
I don't think it's make it...
True. As far as the other tactics goes, I mean, you have other things to consider, though, like the cover for shooting. You moving your guys into cover, and that helps with shooting in ranged.
You're right. That's good.
So, because most of the time,
unless you're doing the wind attack.
Yeah, you're wind, doing the wind attack. The wind attack.
Should we just give three negatives to that wind attack?
Yes. Yeah, just get that one out of the way.
We'll go back to that in just a minute. Let's keep talking about
and,
your point.
And the idea with tactics, because in my game, when I was shooting, I couldn't hit a lot because Ryan had his archers in the trees, so my arbalists weren't hitting. Mm-hmm. So, and the only thing that I could hit with was a magic attack or a charge.
There is definitely some terrain aspect going on. But the reason I could say about movement tactics, if you compare this to, say, how I play the Tau Empire in Warhammer 40K, I've got these shifting flanks going on where it's all about overlapping fields of fire. And then, at the same time, making guys spread off far enough, when they charge, they'll get ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
War Machine's all about movement. Monster Apocalypse is all about positioning, being in the right spot to throw your guys in the right place, or keeping yourself safe. You're not going to see anything like that in this game, which, I mean, it's preference. If you like it, this game may appeal to you.
Yes.
But you're not going to get the movement tactics depth you're going to find in many other miniatures.
And perhaps you don't want to think as much as far as movement goes. You just want to move in, kill, and that's it. So that type of game.
And another movement tactics, you know, you could try and bait someone by if you happen to get, like, say, the first move, you move up forward with a low infantry, like those peasants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try and bait them. It's like, I think I'll charge these guys. We're gonna die now. It's like they're peasants. They're going to die anyways. Then that's why you countercharge with everything else.
What would have been a cool addition, I think, to see in the game without adding a lot of complexity would be movement formations. Like, so, you know, you could have, in like ancient times, you had like column formations for you guys that march and move faster, or if they could spread out in certain ways, take a defensive position. Something, you know, the way the guys are actually positioned on the field could give them advantage or disadvantage.
Maybe if Arcane Legion is mixed with this game, it might have been a good game.
Yeah,
maybe.
But then let's move on. Any other comments about movement? Actually, one more thing about movement. The retreating aspect of it.
Yes.
I don't like that. Hate.
No.
Because it's terrible because it only gives you that option.
It doesn't give you any other option.
No, it doesn't.
Which, I mean, for me, the reason I hate it is, granted, a lot of games got psychology where guys run away because that's, you know, part of how warfare works. But the problem is, compared to, say, once again, compared to 40K, War Machine, Fantasy,
it happens very quickly
in this game. But also, your guys don't really have a chance to recover. They rarely ever rally. 95% of the time, they're off the board, and it's done. So that's why I don't like it. I like to see maybe, okay, you fall back a little bit, then maybe you can
come
back and fight.
Well, you said it's, what, a 20? 20?
20, yeah, 20 grid. 5x4 grid, yes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's just my opinion on the matter. Let's move on to where this game does pretty well, I think. Well, I think so. Combat tactics. What do you guys think? I like it.
From what I can understand, Yeah, they're okay. I think the archers need to have better like hit ratios a little bit.
The
archers are really weak.
Yeah, the archers are really weak, I'll say that.
They're really weak because the amount of times compared to hitting, say, a melee is... It's not as good as your melee.
Now, obviously, there's also a balance concern there. If archers were too powerful, the melee guys all get cut down.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's...
What I really like to do is, like, I'm talking about this kind of a theoretical experiment, have the archer guys all face off against the non-archer guys and see what happens. We didn't do that, which, but oh well.
It's good. I mean, I think there's just not... I mean, they're trying to balance it, but I don't think it's as balanced as it could be.
I mean, what they could do is not increase the amount of damage the archers do, but increase the accuracy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So that would help.
Yeah.
The reason I like the combat so much, though, is there's lots of choices. Every unit's got about four or five different, well, maybe three to four different things they can do.
Some have more different power-ups, different special variants of attack.
Yeah.
And I think that is where this game's strong point is, and knowing how to mix and match those together. And there's also some timing involved to get them to pull off right, unless... But why don't we talk about the spammy attack? Because now we're talking about combat, because we gave it three hater aids already.
Yeah.
This, I guess, is the fairy attack. The fairy lady has this
It's a brown leaf green wind attack.
And it's everyone in the square. It doesn't do a lot of damage.
It's like, supposed to be the green wind, I don't know.
But...
Well, what does it show in the colored picture?
I don't know.
In the book.
Oh, yeah. I think it does. No, it doesn't.
It's blue and purple.
Yeah, blue and purple. It's not green.
So whatever, but see, it doesn't do a lot of damage, but it pretty much two shots will kill almost all infantry in the game.
Yeah, it's a little overpowered just because of that. It's also overpowered in another sense because it's auto-hit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the auto hit.
Yeah, there's no randomability. I think it should have a little bit of randomability in the hits, just to make her not as strong.
Yeah.
You saw on the video battle report there, I launched off on Ryan and killed 16 guys.
That
is the second time I used it on that group of units.
That was a little too
powerful. What else do you guys want to talk about combat here? Because I got some more things. What if you got something?
Dice. Nice. The lack of them, but still the fact that the computer's still, like...
There's still some sort of rolling going on, and it's just... It's not showing you.
I think that makes me even more ticked off.
Yeah.
I can't throw anything. I can't throw the monitor.
I gotta say, you better not throw that monitor. But I like that the fact, too, is you don't know what's going on in the background. Mm-hmm. To me, that's frustrating. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
That is really, really...
It's like, wait, I got no hits... Why?
How?
Why, yeah.
How did I not get any hits? What determined that?
I rejoice when I get all hits, but it usually doesn't happen.
One of the biggest things, I guess, between the miniature games and video games is the miniature games, you can understand the whole physics and mechanics behind it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, because I like math and doing some of the, run the probability, I can get an idea of what's going to happen when I launch an attack. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, I have a 40% probability of hitting or doing this, this, and this, and I get an idea of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen in this game. That's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, because in for instance, Warhammer Warrior 40K, you have your tables, you know, you need fours to hit or wound or whatever. And for Hordes of War Machines, it's like, okay, I've got this mat, he's got this defense, I need dice minus four or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And you just don't see that. You just don't see that with this.
I mean, for all I know, the computer could be screwing you over, and you have no idea what you need to hit. You know, even in the fact, who knows his randomability? I would assume his randomability is fine. That's, you know, and I blame the computer's got poor randomability. But in theory, I don't know what I got to roll. I don't know even what dice system they're using. They could be using a D72 for all I know.
Yeah, no kidding. Because there's some things you see on there to where it's like you hit yourself. Are you kidding me?
Bad luck.
Yeah, bad luck. But it literally has an icon where the guy's arrow's in the back of the head. It's like, what the heck was that?
Shot him in the back.
I don't know what the symbols mean. You know, some things there's not a lot of clear stuff about.
Something the rulebook doesn't really say.
Oh, much. I got some... Okay, anything else you want to move on with that? I got one more thing here to talk about combat. I got a couple more things to talk about combat, so... Okay, well, I'll go
ahead.
The only other thing
I could comment on is just overpower. Some units can seem overpowered.
Mm-hmm.
You just get like two of them, like say the Sophorets, these huge purple Barney giant demon things, coupled with the knights, get them into the same charge of the same zone,
and they're powerhouses.
Yeah, that zone is yours.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the fact that you don't know what's going on can make it worse. Because, you know, even with games we have now, like 40K or War Machine, there's all these people complaining, oh, this attack's too powerful, blah, blah, blah. And you can see exactly how it's going to work. Here, you have no idea.
Yeah, we have
it's,
no
it's
idea.
It's more the paranoia aspect of humans to get a game screwing
and
over.
And also, that doesn't really help you much tactically either, because sometimes, I mean, if something happens that you don't expect, you sometimes can maneuver your tactics in order to recompense. You can't do that for this game, because it's hard to know, you know, what move you can do next.
Yeah, it's almost, maybe eventually you play it enough of times you can figure out the math behind it, but it's sort of, well, let's just try this, because I don't know, you know, I don't know what's a better option at the moment.
Yeah.
Could we discuss the turn-based system itself?
Yeah, that's also part of the mystery.
Yeah.
So, how would you say it's like Final Fantasy-ish, sort of, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I can understand, but the thing is with Final Fantasy is they give you stats.
Yeah.
I think I would have liked it a lot better if they actually gave you some stats to go along with the figures. Like, while you're playing.
There's some stats, but they don't make much sense.
No, the only time you ever see the stats is when you're putting together your musters on the profile. When you're clicking and dragging all your guys and putting them into the musters of the different units, because it has the stats and it'll show you what the stat combination is of all of them.
Yes,
you can click.
But that's
on
all you see.
You can like click on the units and see detailed things like their current hit point level and this weird ACP thing. Where my guy was -2,000.
And I just put a hater rate for it just for the fact that I mean my opinion knowing a little bit of turn-based combat, it's just I think their turn-based combat is very poor, in my opinion.
Because it is very poor. One thing we should say, you don't choose order in which guys go. The computer somehow does it in its own magical little mind.
Yeah, that's not...
You do know the order of what's going to happen, because you know you can see the next five guys are going to be these guys in order. But I sometimes would rather have my peasants go first, then the demon guys... Because I want to use the peasants' bait or something. Yeah. I don't have
it leaves you leaves you less choice of what you're doing in the battlefield. Like you could shoot with this guy, but you don't know when you're going to use them next, and they might be dead the next time you use them or run away.
Because there's sometimes where it's weird. Like when I was fighting his angel guy, I kept attacking again and again and again without him doing it. I never seen it happen before in the game. And it's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Wow. I love the white flag option. Like, why do you have that there? It should be fight to the death. Thank you very much. Well, like have an explosion that just explodes everybody else, but you sacrifice yourself. That would be something cool.
Let's talk about for a minute the fatigue system. That's combat related.
Oh my god.
Does anyone actually like that?
No, not really.
Absolutely not.
Unit very tired. Like, okay, I'm losing here. I don't want to know about this, okay?
I mean, it's exactly what it is. Like, fatigue is how tired you guys are. The more you exhaust them, the more stuff they do, the less, I guess, you know, the more it's going to hurt their performance.
And it happens fairly quickly, too. It's like, I'll charge after one charge on turn one with my first time I use my knights.
Two or
it's
three
like,
turns later.
It's like, I'm very tired. It's like, what?
And afterwards, during that, they're just like, I don't care, I'm fighting, okay? I don't care.
During in the middle of combat, I'll say, unit tired. Unit very tired.
And that's the part of the problem, the fact that it goes down and falls apart so quickly. You really don't factor into your strategy, because the battles almost always last longer than it takes for your guys to get tired.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of thinking to it. It's just, okay, I'm going to get tired at this point and just going to make it become a big whiff fest.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's a bad thing about that for me. Anything else about combat here?
What did I
say? Oh, the whammy screen, yes.
Yeah,
because, you know, all the icons are flying around for every possible combat. You either click on them one at a time or click the check, do it all. I don't like that. What about you guys?
Only time I can see that, I mean, I don't like it, but the only time I can see that actually working is if you had something like an iPad.
Yes, we'll talk about the software. This game is definitely meant for the iPhone iPad interface. Yeah. And even then, it's still kind of annoying.
Yeah. Especially if you get all the icons centered around, like I go is, and you have it all done.
Yeah. So that's a little wonky. Why don't we move on to the software? Because that's obviously a big component of this thing. Mm-hmm. Let's break this down piece by piece. For me, one thing I'm going to say I don't like about it is the fact that the software is designed for a touch interface, like the iPhone or the iPad. Mm-hmm. They literally ported the software from the iPhone to the PC.
We've got a 24-inch screen over there, and the buttons are a quarter the size of the screen because that's the proportion that would be on the iPhone because they need to be big buttons. And the interface doesn't work like a computer game interface should. You basically got to click on a button to get help. You don't have to just hover over like you would every other game.
Yeah.
And instead of having smaller buttons where you can see all the possible attacks, you got to drag the attack menu like you would on the iPhone.
Yeah.
All it did was port the stupid interface over from the iPhone.
Yeah, that
I don't like that.
If they wanted to put it on the PC, they should have reworked the application or just made a completely new application specifically for the computer.
Yes. And it would be a really shame, guys, if you actually use some third-party tool to develop the iPhone and the PC one simultaneously. Because you know, Apple's not liking that right now. I don't know if that's what they did, but somehow they ported the iPhone stuff over to the PC. And I assume the OS X interface is the same, but like I said, I don't have an OS X machine to run that on. I got a few more rants about software distribution, but let's say, what's good about the software? I like the artwork.
The artwork was great.
The graphic quality is great.
Yeah, it is, as long as it doesn't freeze up.
Yeah, you'll be waiting there 10 minutes. The only thing that I don't like about the software is the loading.
But sometimes
when they're attacking somebody, it's like they attack somebody, you know they're going to die, but they're already gone.
Yeah. I know. We'll get to that in just a minute. But about when you talk about the loading thing, it doesn't make any sense.
You click the attack. And it's like, okay, we're standing here. We're still standing here. We're still standing here, like, we're going to attack. We're going to attack eventually.
It takes like 10 seconds for them to do anything.
Attack.
What is going on there?
They got to move to attack.
Yeah,
they're moving, and then it takes a little while to wait for them.
Should we talk about the whole missing people thing? That the fact that this software is buggy as hell.
Yes.
Can I explain it?
Yes.
It just does stuff. I mean, the results are right. The mathematical results are right, but the graphical interface does not always represent the actual results. Let's all pick out our most favorite bug. Ryan picked out the fact that guys are just disappearing.
Because when I charged your hobblers, your horsemen, it's like it moves to the screen and they're not there, so I'm attacking the air.
Yeah, so what?
They're already dead. Yeah, then. They know they're gone.
Whenever you charge into combat and the result is total annihilation of the enemy models are not there on the screen. You see guys whipping in the air and numbers fly around.
All of a sudden it says, those guys are gone.
Yeah.
Like, where's the fun in that?
What's your most favorite bug?
Dead people getting back up.
Dead rising.
It's like I'm still alive. I'm just very badly hurt.
The best though is when they get up and they're dead. They stand up. They don't move though. The rest of the units. But then the next screen, they're still standing.
Yes.
They collapse over. there's some other funny bugs. I like one where the guys died twice.
Yes.
Sometimes they'll be hit with what? The first attack.
I don't think I'm dead. I'm dead.
The first attack obviously probably does enough damage to kill them, so they die. But then there's still three more attacks. So the animation shows up getting back up, hit two more times, and they fall over dead again. Oh my goodness. The best bug. The best bug that I've ever seen, because it happened to me when I just run some demo games. Uh-oh. The game loses track of what's going on. You literally have empty screen in front of you, but the units will still be there. Click on a button, it's attacking. Numbers are going all over the place.
It's like, wait a minute.
But it doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
It's recalculating. It's like a GPS.
It's just, I mean, granted, they can fix that with software, so maybe by the time there's new updates come out, that'll be fixed. But it's just funny. I mean, it's
a lot of glitches.
It's a bit rushed. The software's definitely a bit rushed.
Very buggy.
And another thing is, every single figure, all the characters in there are wonderfully done, wonderfully made, you know, wonderfully, how you'd say, matte painted or whatever, on the computer. Except for these. Somebody just thought, okay, I don't want to put detail on these guys.
Talk about the demon guys as softnesses.
Yeah, let's just think of some random color. Barney purple! Okay, look at that!
Yes!
I'm sorry, what were you guys thinking? Unless, hopefully they change it. Hopefully they do remap paint it sometime.
They could.
I would hope so.
Because that's just an ugly color. That's going to give me nightmares.
It's ugly and it's disturbing.
Yes, it is.
Can we go back to a funny bug that I discovered? That,
yeah, go ahead.
Are you not talking? Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
I basically was trying to do was make it so I could take screenshots or do some screen capturing of the action. And there's ways in Windows you can get past command line parameters to the program and make it force it to run in window mode. The problem is with this application, if you pass it a command line parameter, the parameter you pass is it expects to be the directory where all the images are stored. So I tried to give it the command to make it go force it to window mode so I could do like a screen capture of it or take a screenshot. And it couldn't load any of the graphics. It got like 500 errors. Loading graphic fail, loading graphic fail, loading graphic fail. And the screen just came out blank. Like it's like the company logo now. It's hilarious.
That's
another funny little bug. So we're getting close to the end here. We haven't got to the 800-pound gorilla. There's two things I want to do. Either you guys want to hear my DRM rant?
Yeah, go ahead.
Or do you want to hear the 800-pound gorilla?
Let's do both.
All right, I'll do the DRM rant first here. Let me get a nice drink of water.
Breathe normally.
If we still had that soapbox car from like 2 years ago, it'd be being slapped down right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
So if you don't know what DRM is, it's digital rights management. It's something you find on a lot of, not so much anymore, but media, online media and games, like music, movies, video games. The idea being that the producers of this content want to kind of control it and limit how you use it. And usually ends up limiting what devices you can install it on, so you can't share it with people. They try to do things like that. And as messy as that is with digital media, because frankly it never works, pirates always get away around it, and only ends up hurting legitimate customers. The fact that you've got to register every single figure you buy with this game with the company in order to use it, they have now taken DRM, which was originally protect content, which is infinitely duplicatable, and now applied it to a finite resource. And it's just ridiculously stupid. Here's why. One, you cannot proxy units. Oftentimes, before you want to buy units, you want to be able to play with them and try them out. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that with this game. Two, you cannot create your own units. Granted, I don't do this a lot, but you know, in special scenarios or special campaigns, it's fun to create your own units for some kind of cool, unique mission. You can't do that with this game. You cannot create your own missions. You have to play by what the computer tells you. If you want to play Capture the Flag, if you want to play Castle Siege, if you want to play some kind of control objectives, you may be able to kind of hobble something together. But the end result is you really can't do that because this game locks and controls things
down.
And
they limit that gameplay.
Well, yeah, I got to be putting hater rays up on you.
Yeah. It's like there's only one style of gameplay.
Yeah.
Annihilate.
Yeah,
number four, there are no house rules. You can't tweak stuff. You can't alter things if you don't happen to like something.
How long has this game been out?
Not very long.
Okay, so they have,
like 6 months.
There might, and just in their defense, they might need more time just, you know, working with the game system and stuff.
Maybe.
They might change that.
But it comes down to the fact, I don't want to have to be tied in the existence of some company to play this game. If Bastion Studios went out of business tomorrow and their website closed down, you're screwed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's just bad. True.
One more thing. You can't sell figures on an open market in an unregulated open market. If you want to sell your figures, I want to sell them to you, I got to pay the company money. So
that really stinks. Actually, put a hater rate up for me for that.
I mean, granted, I can sell you the figures, but if you want to use them in Exilis, I have to pay Bastion Studios a cut of that in order to transfer the figures from me to you, because the reality is they have realized they've got a situation where if they didn't do that, we could just be swapping figures back and forth to whenever we want. Yeah. Which brings to another point. You can't share your figures. Granted, they have something called a Battle Brother system, which allows you to basically share your figures with one other person. But let's say, right here, I'm the only one has the figures right now. If both of you guys want to come over and play a three-player game, we could not do it. Because I cannot share my figures with both of you. It's ridiculously stupid like that. Two. Areas of the game are locked out unless you have multiple human opponents. There's a whole leveling experience system to this where you guys can get better, get stronger, and so on so. But the fact is, because we can only play practice matches because there's only one person owns figures, we can't experience that whole aspect of the game. It sounds cool, but we can't do anything about it. And that's why that's also very, very stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good enough for Angry Rants?
Yeah, what about the 800-pound gorilla?
Look at that right now. We ran out of time to score. We're going longer.
That's okay.
That's what it comes down to. They're basically controlling how you play this game, and I do not like that. I don't like it when video games do it. I have not bought several video games because their companies have such strong DRM on them. I never bought downloadable music because they have such strong DRM on them. I'm sure it's not going to buy any videos online because they have strong DRM on them.
honestly, it wasn't for the fact that I wanted to review this game for the show, I would not have bought this game just for the sole purpose of the DRM stuff. But that's me being my angry, busy EFF rant.
It's probably anguish you'll see him throughout the year.
Yeah. Let's get an 800-pound gorilla. And this is a hater rate for me. Oh, why did I buy $70 worth of figures? Let's be honest.
That's basically it. Yeah.
What do you guys say? Is that a hater rate for you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Because I look at this, and I don't see myself buying this.
No.
You can go to Games Workshop, pay... What are the starter sets for
75.
Now? 75? Yeah, you can pay pretty much the same for a Games Workshop starter set, and you can share them. You're not tied down.
And the only thing that they say is, you know, the best thing about this is you can play this, you know, on the computer. So what?
Yeah, I mean honestly,
if you can play it on the computer, what's the point to having the miniatures?
That's the real question. The only reason you need the miniatures is because it's an artificial problem they created with their software where you can't see the full battlefield properly without the miniatures. Mm-hmm. That's a completely artificial problem that should never exist because every other computer game out there doesn't have that problem.
And that's why I say it's a really poor turn-based system.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I don't know. I think we beat that donkey a lot of times.
That's a lot of haters.
Yeah, that's... I'd say that's...
Let's go ahead and let's count them up here.
So we got 25 likes.
I'd say this is really
lopsided.
I'd say about 50 hater aids. Oh, 50 hater aids and 25 so sweets.
Oh boy.
Well,
that's why. Okay. Thanks for the show, everybody. Never watch it.
All right, guys. Let's see here. Final review time. Andrew, you want to go first? Go ahead.
Since we have no dice to roll.
Yeah.
Final review for me would be not. I wouldn't pay the $70 for it. I just could take that and invest in a Games Workshop starter set, and I can put it together. I'm not tied down to their system.
Can I hold you up one thing for there? Just because I want to put one more hater for my rant, I just remember.
Okay.
Buy one starter set per account.
Oh, well, that's...
What?
Because they basically can limit how you use your figures. Oh, one more. Why not? In theory... because here's a horrible
why
conspiracy
not?
Theory inside me. WizKids said with MechWarrior after so many times, all these figures are now banned from tournaments. You can't use them.
Yeah.
The fact is, they could, if they wanted to, I sure hope they never do this, and there's no reason to believe they would. This is like a paranoid kind of conspiracy theory thing. They could say, that Angel character is banned from the game, take it out of there, it's gone, you can never play with it again.
Or you can never use the Gust.
Yeah. And it's just like how it was, in MechWarrior, where it banned from tournaments, but you could still go home and, in your basement, or in some other tournaments, you could play, do whatever you wanted to.
You can't do that for this
game. You would
be
screwed in this game. They could say, screw you, you're done. I mean, granted, I have no reason to believe they'll do that. But that's a crazy paranoid conspiracy theory. Back to your final review.
Yeah, basically, I could take $70 that you could pay for this and invest it in a Games Workshop starter set. And I've got miniatures, I've got rule book, I've got all the stuff I need for it, and you can share it with your friends. Mm-hmm. You're not tied down. That's it's just not worth it for me.
Yeah. Do you want to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
I mean, it's not going to be for very long.
Okay.
The only thing that would appeal to me is the turn-based system, but since there's other games out there that have better turn-based systems that aren't connected to figures, I'd say get those. I mean, if you really want to get this for the turn-based scenarios, fine, get it. But I don't think it's worth it. I want to buy it, basically.
My final thoughts would be, I think just about every geek or nerd out there who's ever seen the original Star Wars, sees that one scene in the Millennium Falcon where they're playing that holographic chess game. And let's face it, we all want that.
Yeah.
Yes.
The problem is the technology to do that is not there yet. I think what Bastion Studios wanted to do was try to create that feel of that holographic thing with all the cool stuff and with the technology we have right now, and it just doesn't work. Because you end up, one, creating artificial problems where you need the miniatures, but the reality is you don't really need the miniatures, and I've actually played several games up on my computer
without the miniatures in front of me. So, you know, there's enough I can keep track of what's going on in my head. You really don't need them, and it's a totally, like I said, artificial problem. And the end result is you've got could be a fun miniatures game if we knew what's going on in the background.
You need to have a bit more detail.
A bit more detail. But pretty much, I'm paying miniature level prices to play a hot seat video game.
Yeah.
And frankly, if I had $70 to play this video game or StarCraft 2, I can assure you StarCraft 2 is my choice. In fact, I've already got it pre-ordered. So, that's honest reality to it, is the figures are awesome. If you can find a use for these figures in one of your games, $70, get these figures, that's awesome. It's that's a great deal in that regard, but I don't think I'll really ever play this game again.
As a game as a whole.
Granted, we were kind of over there laughing, at least I was laughing and joking how the game was going, kind of having fun with it.
But that's the only thing you have fun with once.
Yeah, because it's reality. I felt more like I was laughing at the game than with the game. And eventually, after we get past the hilariousness of everyone dying in one attack kind of stuff, that it's going to get more annoying and more frustrating, and it's like, just forget this. I'm going back to War Machine or going back to Warhammer.
Kind of reminds me of Grind a little bit, you know?
I think this is different. For me, this is frustrating for a different reason than Grind.
Yeah.
Because it's just not much there. Honestly, yeah. That's my review. So, well.
There you go.
There we go. That's Exilis for you. It's... Yeah.
Why are you purple again? What are you people thinking?
There you go.
So, all right. Well, let's just go ahead and finish this show up. We've definitely went over our time limit, but that's right. I think it was important to take a look at this game because it's supposed... They want it to be some kind of new, cool step. I think, honestly, the next time we're going to see like a really cool step forward is if you guys watched the video of the Microsoft Surface table where the guys are playing Dungeons & Dragons on it.
Yes.
Because that's kind of what this could be, but the thing is that the table is actually recognizing the figures and doing a lot of stuff for you, but you're still having the figures move around. It's not like you're duplicating what the computer does. Mm-hmm. But the problem is Microsoft Surface tables cost $10,000 and are not commercially available.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious. Hey, Microsoft, want to send us one?
That would be beautiful.
I'm a programmer. I can write software for them that works in miniature wargaming. How awesome would that be? What a great publicity. Some tiny miniature wargaming thing. I'm trying not to milk Microsoft for cool products. That's about it. So let's go ahead and just finish the show up. Ryan?
I'm Ryan. Twitter, rmanman4, as always.
And, of course, I'm over at Twitter on @TT_Battlefield. Any questions or comments, send to me at Jason@RoccoSoftware.com. I don't know why I had to think about that for a minute. But that's spelled RoccoSoftware.com. As Ryan's making fun of me and mouthing that.
Ryan,
and, of course,
forever.
Steam is Rocker Robotics. You can play some Left 4 Dead. And if you actually want to play it, take me on the StarCraft 2 beta. That's always an option. What about you? Use Twitter or anything like that?
I have Steam... I use a Steam account, so you can Duke Nukem.
Is that one word or two?
You only Duke Nukem.
You only Duke Nukem on Steam.
That's pretty impressive that you got that name.
I am the only Duke Nukem on Steam.
I don't know how you did it, but that's some quality work there. All right, guys, let's go ahead. So thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.